John's Gospel, chapter 5, reading from verse 17. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man. But these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words. Really appreciate this opportunity to bring the Lord's word today, and I hope that you have followed along in the reading there in John chapter 5. I hope also that you are standing up to all the issues of the prison shut-in, and that you are finding ways to fill your heart and mind with the truth and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and of the gospel itself. I pray that you will find that comfort, that help of the Lord in your own heart. Mindful of those who are in care homes and in places of particular need, let's unite in prayer that the Lord will minister. Father, we thank thee that there is great grace. You have promised, my grace is sufficient for thee. And how often in life we find that we cannot change our circumstances in a hurry. But, O Lord, you've promised that you will give us the strength, the spiritual fortitude, and the ability to go through and do our duty to serve the Lord. So I pray, your Father, that you will, by your Spirit, come down to encourage and to minister to the hearts of your people. And may it please thee through this broadcast, even here today, to minister great grace, great spiritual power to the hearts of every one of your children. Bless those that are dealing with loneliness, and some perhaps with severe ill health, even those who have this COVID virus. O Lord, I pray that you will remove fear and fill each one full of faith in the Lord. This is the gift that you give, O Lord, and we plead it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so encourage each heart, bless each one, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now to our message today. Stay tuned as we move to the pulpit of our church to let the Bible speak. The buzzword from many quarters today is equality. And of course, it's a politically driven notion that everyone in society can be equally empowered, equally employed, and equally eminent. But here on earth, we all know that there is no equality. Now, there can be equal opportunity to make a level playing field for all, but some people are born 6'6", and some people are born just, well, not at birth, but later to grow to 5 feet tall. So how can you compare equality with a 6'6"er with someone who's just a 5-footer? And when you put them into the arena in the athletic race, who do you think's going to win? Now, Abram and Lot were different types of men with different outcomes in life. Jacob and Esau, they were even twins, but yet they were opposites in almost every way. Joseph and Reuben. Joseph was a born political leader. Reuben was as unstable as water, and yet they had the same parents. James and John were both brothers and disciples of the Lord Jesus. James had an early death in Jerusalem, martyred. John outlived all the apostles to an old age, exiled on the Isle of Patmos. John, therefore, had many years of service, many years of opportunity, and has given us this gospel, John, the epistles of John, and it was to him that he received the book of Revelation. Then the prophets of the Old Testament. Isaiah, he was the prophet of hope, whereas Jeremiah, he was the prophet of doom and gloom. And while the Lord addressed and warned the rich in this world, he also said that the poor ye shall have with you always. And then there's Mary and Martha, living in the same home with all the same benefits. And yet we know that Mary sat at Jesus' feet to learn of his word, while Martha was filled with cares and with domestic things. Paul the Apostle, he was as bold as a lion and gave his life as a martyr. But he wrote to Timothy not to be fearful, because Timothy was timid. And yet they both served God in their own way. And so from all of this, we know that men and women are not like sardines. We don't all come the same size, neither do we all come out of the same can. The Lord has made giants, but he also made Zacchaeus, that wee little man that he discovered up a tree. And so we are different. Each is unique, and each is cut to size by his maker. And so we'll have to let you be you, and you'll have to let me be me. Now here in John 5, we find perfect equality. And that's the whole issue of this chapter, including the miracle of the man who was raised from his impotency to be a rejoicing in his newfound strength. And here we find equality between the Father and the Son. That's what this chapter is all about. And we're going to learn today, and I want you to put your thinking caps on to learn of the six proofs of the equality of the Son with the Father. In every which way, there is no dissimilarity, there is no variance, there is no difference. Whatever the Father is, Jesus is also. Now, it was a shock to the Jews when they discovered that the Lord Jesus was making himself equal with God. Now, this came after the healing of the man, and after the man replied to the Jews, "It was Jesus who made me whole. It was he who healed me and cured me." And so when the Jews, who were outraged that this, well, firstly was done on the Sabbath day, that was bad enough, that was illegal in itself to them. But when they heard Jesus' response, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." And you'll find those words in chapter 5, verse 17. "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Well, this sent the Jews berserk. You might wonder, where did I get that word from? Well, I looked it up in the dictionary, by the way, and it's an Old Norse word for a warrior that was eating wild mushrooms. And so he was on drugs. He was on a high, and he was taking the sword and going into battle. Well, these Jews, they went berserk. They were mad as could be. And they let off their rage to the Lord. And all of this statement where Jesus said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work," it just fueled their inner resentment and their rage against the Lord Jesus. Now, if you look at verse 18, it says, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him." Now, ponder that for a moment. They thought the more to kill him. In other words, they had the thought already. They had discussed that already. But now, when they heard these words, that's it, that tipped the scale. Now it was time. And they were ready to put that into action. So this statement, "My Father worketh hitherto and I work," was unbearable to these so-called defenders of all things Jewish. And they interpreted that our Lord Jesus was making himself equal with God. Therefore, they sought to kill him. They counted this as blasphemy. Now, this heated event, this response of the Jews to that statement of the Lord Jesus, helps us. It enables us to understand that this is not just a play on words. They got the significance. They understood the implication of it. And they understood that Jesus was truly claiming to be equal with God. And of course, that is the foundation of our faith. If he's not, we are of all men most miserable. We have no foundation for our faith. If our Lord Jesus is not equal with God the Father, he's a mere man. He is reduced to something lesser. And how can we be a Christ one, a Christian to follow and put our confidence and trust in him alone? And so I want us to look at this whole matter today here in John 5, and the chapter's all about this. It seems that the whole chapter is firstly the introduction, the man that's healed miraculously, the response of the Jews, and then the Lord laying out six proofs of his equality with the Father. Firstly, a moment on the miracle that prompted the statement of equality. Well, we've learned it was a powerful miracle. That man had been 38 years in that condition. I don't know we could say that he was waiting 38 years at the pool of Bethesda, but he had been 38 years in that weakened, paralytic state, and he was hopeless. And now he was walking. He took up his bed and walked. It was a very powerful miracle. And then it was a public miracle. This was not done in a corner. This was not hidden. And of course, it was the big question of the day. And they knew he was healed, and they began to wonder who it was that healed him. And it all pointed to Jesus. And so all the focus and attention now was on this man, Jesus. How can he do such a thing? Who had the answers? He stood before them as God's answer. And of course, he stands before us today as God's answer to us. Christ is God in the flesh with power to heal and to save. And will you note and take these facts to heart? We are taking real life hard facts of this case. What will you do with them? What is your answer? How shall you respond? And so the proofs now. And here the Lord Jesus goes right down the line. Now, the proofs came because these Jews denied that he was equal with the Father. And so it put the Lord on the offensive to establish his own equality with the Father. Now, of course, this was Christ's own mission. He came into the world to make the Father known. And this was his work. And he was the self-revelation of the Father. He said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And Jesus said, "Have I not been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And so all of these statements, all of these things that Jesus so commonly said, they added up. But from the get-go, the Jews set themselves to resist, to oppose. And of course, the Lord now in this scene takes the opportunity to lay it out. This was for our Lord Jesus a teaching moment. This was his time to explain it all. And so in this chapter 5, we have these six proofs, right from verse 19 on down to at least 29. And he is equal with the Father. Let me give you the short list first of all, and then we'll go right down them one by one. Firstly, he's equal in his works. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He's equal in his knowledge. What the Father knows, the Son knows. He's equal in his regenerating power. He is able to call sinners out of spiritual death. He is equal in executing judgment. We will not only answer to the Father, but we will answer to Christ. He will be the Lamb of God, and we will answer to him. And then, of course, he's equal in honor. He that honoreth me honoreth the Father, and vice versa. And he's equal in resurrection power. So that's the six proofs here in this passage, John 5, of Jesus' equality with the Father. Now, this is really important stuff. And I want you to get this today. I want you to Really take note of this, because this is where the battle rages. This is where the enemy attacks. And of course, these Jews, they were having none of it from the beginning. Let's begin then at verse 19. The Son was equal with the Father in his works. Let's read the verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, to all readers who have no bias, no prejudice, that's a very clear, simple statement. It's obvious that whatever the Father works, the Son works also. But there's a seeming twist in this statement. Do you notice those words and that little clause? The Son can do nothing of himself. Now, taking that clause alone, in isolation in that text, the Son can do nothing of himself. Taking that in isolation, many will jump to the conclusion and say, aha, you see, Jesus is not equal in power with God the Father. And they desire to deny the notion of his equality. And they run with this little partial statement, and they jump to the willful denial of such a thing as equality of power in the Son. Now, what is the answer to this runaway little statement? What is the answer to this seeming contradiction? And some try to answer this by saying, well, while Jesus was on earth, he was in subservience to the Father. He was the servant to the Father. And therefore, while he was in that body, he had certain limitations. No, sir, we cannot go that route. Others would say this was part of his mediatorial work because he was in the middle. You have the Father and Jesus in the middle, and he's representing sinners. And so by being mediator, he took a halfway type of position. And so by such rationale, they would reduce and lessen the authority of the Son and lessen his power with the Father. And they might even plead that he was in the form of a servant and therefore lesser than equal with God. Now, bear with me. I know this is demanding. I know that you need to follow the line of thinking here. I want you to stir your heart up just for a moment, and I want you to see the significance of this explanation. The seeming limitation is not because of any lessening of his divine person by his union with a human body. We reject that. He was not subservient to the Father because he took the position of a mediator. In fact, we take the absolute position that he is not limited at all in anything. All of these things we cannot accept, because if he was lesser than God, why would the Jews want to kill him? Why would they assume that he made himself equal with God? Why did they think this was blasphemy? And so those reasons are not satisfactory. They do not fit the scene, and of course they do lessen the godhood of the Lord Jesus. So what are we going to do with these words? The Son can do nothing of himself. Let me be abundantly clear that they mean that the Lord Jesus, being God and in union with the Father, could not work independently of his Father. He could not work alone without keeping to the blueprint which the Father had given him. I want to give you a statement by Arthur W. Pink. Now, I understand this is deep. Some people think, well, why does our preacher just preach the same things over and over? Well, today this is not the same thing over and over. We are going, I want you to take a gasp, because this is going to be a deep dive. And I hope we can come up again. Now, here's what Arthur W. Pink said. This statement, the Son can do nothing of Himself, this means the Son cannot act independently of the Father. And why could He not? Because in will. Now, this is a theological term, it's a biblical term, and it's a very important term. The word will in Bible doctrine has to do with the natural seat of our decisions. It is what makes you decide one thing versus another. It is the real you deciding to go this way or that way. That's your will. Because in will, the Lord Jesus was absolutely one with the Father. If He were God the Son, then He must be in perfect union with that of God the Father. Otherwise, there would be two absolute conflicting wills, which means there would be two gods. I warned you, we're going deep here. We need to take a gasp of air. We need oxygen at this moment. Because if we settle for anything less than the full equality of the Son with the Father, we're in deep trouble. And this little statement, the Son can do nothing of Himself, the enemies latch on to and they use, they say, I show you Jesus is not equal with the Father. And so we're trying to grapple with this statement that Jesus did nothing by Himself, could do nothing by Himself, without being in unison with the will, the purposes, the plan of the Father. It's a wonderful thing that through the Lord Jesus you can have full assurance of salvation. When you're trusting in the Son of God, you're trusting in such a mighty Savior who is able to save you and deliver you from sin and present you to the Father spotless. Fear not to put your trust in the Lord Jesus. If I can be of any personal help, make sure you give me a call. I look forward to hearing from you. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I hope that I can be of personal help to you if you have prayer requests, prayer needs, and of course, if you can read the Bible, go to the Bible. That's the key need as you would seek God's salvation. And I would recommend John's Gospel. Read John's Gospel. Pray the Lord will open your mind and heart to understand the way of salvation. In these times of fear and almost panic in our land, this is the true place to find peace. We are called to prepare to meet our God, but we need to know the Savior. And you need to call upon Him to save you from your sins. I also want to invite you to join with us each day at this time for these programs on your local station. I also want to invite you on Sundays to listen in to our webcast from our Free Presbyterian Church. These are online services by webcast. Now go to our website at 10:30 Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday evenings, Pacific time, here in Greater Vancouver, and go to cloverdalefpc.ca. And at 10:30 and 6 p.m. local time here in Vancouver, you can join us for our online services. Now, my cell number is 604-897-2040. And I look forward to hearing from you. Give me a call, send me an email, let me know you're tuning in. May God bless you through His Word.